Domino's. Layla.
What do you do when you call me? Nobody's waiting by your side. You've been running far much too long. You know it's just your foolish pride. You got me on my knees.
Ten oh seven. Time to get back to the show now, Jason. Jason's classic cut on a Friday. If that's not the greatest guitar piece in rock history, it's the sweetest. It's just I don't know how many classic guitar pieces I remember hearing for the first time. I remember the first time I heard that. It is that powerful. I'm going to revisit a topic, sort of, and I've got to set this up quickly because we only have this half hour, and I do want to take calls on this. And we have a guest at 10:35. So I need to set this up as quickly as I can. And it's kind of a wide-ranging topic here. It goes back to the two girls. And if you're tired of hearing that topic, don't go anywhere, because it's not exactly that topic, but it's related to the two girls who stabbed their friend, and how did society generate those type of little monsters? John Cass, interestingly, we used one of his columns earlier this week, very good conservative writer from the Chicago Tribune, has a piece on that today. However, as I said, I want to broaden this. So before we get to Cass's column, this may not seem related to the two girls who stabbed their friend, but I think it is. This story is from Houston, right, Jason? Houston, Texas. This is Eyewitness ABC 13 News in Houston on a story, quite frankly, that will sicken you.
Two children hospitalized after a bad crash during rush hour. Good evening. I'm Eric Barajas.
And I'm Melanie Lawson. Dave and Gina have the night off. That crash happened in the 9600 block of Fondren near Dumfries. Eyewitness News reporter Jessica Willey is live with the latest details. Jessica?
And these two boys were rushed to Texas Children's Hospital tonight. Their father is with them, their mother is dead, and the groceries she had just bought were stolen right out of her car.
Oh, my God.
Onlookers were transfixed by the scene of the fatal crash, a heartbreaking chain of events.
It's horrible to know that two kids don't have a mom again.
What happened afterwards made it even worse.
It's unbelievable. I never heard such a thing.
Houston police say the mother behind the wheel of the Toyota 4Runner collided with another car heading northbound on Fondren.
She started speeding and she lost control.
She crashed into a tree, died on impact. Her two sons, ages 6 and 4, wearing seatbelts but not sitting in car seats, were rushed to the hospital. But before help arrived, someone pounced.
They stole the groceries after she had an accident. And the kids are injured. That's very low.
Eyewitnesses told police they saw people taking groceries out of the front seat of the dead woman's SUV. She had attended her 4-year-old's graduation ceremony at his elementary school, went to the grocery store, dropped off a friend, and then on their way home, crashed. Police believe she was at fault and wasn't wearing a seatbelt. The actions by opportunists, hard to believe.
You see the person dead, how do you feel taking the person's grocery?
Well, sympathy for her sons spread quickly.
I just feel so sorry for the children.
Right, Jason, that's enough. They get the idea. So they stole the groceries out of a dead woman's SUV with her two injured children still alive inside. Jason's only reaction is, what the hell? Now, hold that thought, and then here's John Cass writing in the Chicago Tribune. What caused the Wisconsin girls to stab their friend? His response, we did. Sort of. Allow me to explain. What kind of culture produced those two 12-year-old Wisconsin girls charged with stabbing a classmate 19 times? Our culture. The 12-year-olds were charged as adults, Police said they wanted to kill their classmates so they could cement a pact with an evil fictional character that lives only on the internet. We don't know, we won't know for some time what really drove the girls to grab the knife and hold their friend down and stab her, if indeed that's what happened. But we do know about the culture they live in. Now, I'm going to summarize this. I'll read a little more, and then I'm going to summarize it. It's a culture that has fallen in love with magic and fantasy. It's a culture that takes fantasy symbols of evil, the vampire, the witch, and transforms them into heroes of great virtue. It is a culture where dark magic is celebrated, but religion is considered bothersome. We reap what we sow. Before any of you get riled up thinking I'm about to burn the Brothers Grimm or the Russian fairy tales, don't worry, I won't. They were valuable to me. They remain so. But such literature is historical, written back when evil sought your soul. Now, evil wants to be your friend, marry you, and hang out on Twilight. All living things take on the characteristics of their environment. Plants soak up nutrients or poisons, as do animals. Young humans do, too. I figure most parents who've heard of the story must have shuddered thinking, could my child have classmates like that and be a victim? Could my child be capable of such monstrous selfishness? I can't even deal with it, said a young mother I know who has two children, little children. I heard about it. I don't want to know. Of course she'll want to know. She's a mom, and she'll learn about the girls, and something will creep along her nerves, just as has crept along the nerves of every parent with sense. And then he retells the story of the Slender Man, and you know all of that. And then came the boilerplate parental warning. Unmonitored and unrestricted access to the internet by children is a growing and alarming problem. Parents are strongly encouraged to restrict and monitor their children's internet usage. Slender Man, of course, is evil, but then so were vampires once. He doesn't take this the next step, so I will. And again, we're tight on time. What he's saying is, all of our, there's no such thing as an anti-hero anymore. The bad guys have become the heroes. And by the way, I'm not going to suggest I'm immune to this. I'm a fan. It's called the protagonist in literature or drama. The hero. I'm a fan of Dexter. Dexter's a serial killer. He's the protagonist. I'm a fan of the Americans. They're Soviet spies. I'm a fan of Mad Men. Don Draper is the world's biggest bleep hole. He's a bad guy. Orange, the season two of Orange is the New Black just came out. I'll admit I like it. They're all criminals. And lest I forget, House of Cards. And there's a slight spoiler alert in here if you're catching up on House of Cards. Frank has now killed two people. He's vice president. Now he's president. He's president of the United States. Again, if you weren't caught up in season two, sorry. He's president of, now they're going to call him Yell at Jason. We now celebrate the bad guy. We celebrate evil. Cass doesn't take it quite that far. All of the major dramas today, there are no heroes. All of the big ones, Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy. The heroes are all bad people. Grimm is a rare exception, where Grimm is good versus evil. Drama today has become evil versus evil. I think that's the culture that develops people who will steal a dead woman's groceries. So much drama today is not good versus bad, which has historically been the template for drama. There's no difference between the good guys and the bad guys. I read a piece on this and never got to it. If you have any thoughts on this, 406-1360, 888-455-1360. But I want to be clear on something. I'm not immune to it. I watch this drama and enjoy it. But there's a price for it. I guess it's our soul. It's 10:16.
Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybatershow.com.